comments with the kitabs. Inshallah, throughout the day, correction and islah of different branches of deen will be discussed. Inshallah, in this program, we will discuss our aqaid, correction of aqaid, the kitab, islahul aqaid, in accordance to the Ahlus Sunnati wal Jamaat. The introduction of the kitab we will read today, inshallah. That from the Quran and Hadith, we learn that the most valuable treasure is Iman, and the greatest calamity is Kufr, that is disbelief. Everlasting success is the result of Iman, while everlasting loss is the consequence of Kufr, that is disbelief. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, "It is He who has created you. However, some amongst you are kafir, disbelievers, and some amongst you are believers, that is, the mu'mineen." Mankind is divided into two groups. One is the disbeliever who is ungrateful to Allah Ta'ala. He has been ungrateful, rebelled, and made treason against his Creator. For him is everlasting punishment in the hereafter. As for the believer, he submits to the command of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. He is grateful, accepts the sovereignty of Allah Ta'ala, and affirms his rule. For the believer, the reward is great. He has been promised lofty mansions in the gardens of paradise, peace, and perpetual happiness. Righteous deeds are only acceptable to Allah Ta'ala if Iman is present. Without correct beliefs, righteous deeds are not accepted for reward in the hereafter. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala states, "Whoever practices righteous deeds, be it male or female, while he or she is a believer, verily they will enter Jannah." The first question posed to a person in the grave will be regarding his beliefs. As far as those whose beliefs are not correct, that is the disbelievers, their righteous deeds will not be acceptable in the court of Allah Ta'ala in the hereafter. Aqaid, that is beliefs, are like roots, and actions are like the branches. Just as how branches grow because of the root, similarly, beliefs are the source of actions. Thus, the greatest and most imperative obligation on man is to correct his beliefs and to cleanse himself of wrong ideologies. He should adorn himself with good actions and try to earn Allah Ta'ala's pleasure, which in fact is the prime object of coming into this world. Secondly, one must realize that from all the religions, Islam is the chosen religion by Allah Ta'ala Himself, and the rightful inheritors and true followers of Islam are the Ahlus Sunnati wal Jama'ah. These two facts are proven theoretically and logically. Thirdly, one has to understand what the beliefs of the Ahlus Sunnati wal Jama'at are. Their beliefs are those which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught to the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. And all of them remain steadfast on these beliefs without any difference. Later on, people introduced new beliefs and divided into many factions and groups. Nevertheless, the Ahlus Sunnati wal Jama'at remained staunch on the beliefs of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum and did not devise their own belief structure. These are the same beliefs found in the Quran and Hadith. Since the need for correct aqaid is essential for salvation, this servant, referring to Maha Musa Kaji, was instructed by my honorable and illustrious Ustad and Sheikh, Hazrat Maulana Abdul Hamid Sahab, to prepare a booklet which would be read in Ramadan for the Mu'takifin regarding correct beliefs in according to today's times. We beseech Allah Ta'ala to accept this humble effort and make it a means of my salvation as well as those who benefit from it. Ameen. Inshallah, we will start reading the beliefs tomorrow, inshallah. Last night, alhamdulillah, in the first Tarawih, the first 1.25 paras were recited, which comprises of Surah Al-Fatiha and just about half of Surah Al-Baqarah. Surah Al-Fatiha, Al-Fatiha, is a Makki surah. From the onset, we should understand that different surahs have been classified to be Makki or Madani. And the meaning of to be Makki and Madani does not necessarily mean that they were exactly revealed in Makkatul Mukarrama or Madinatul Munawwara. By Makki surahs, it is mentioned that they were revealed prior and before the migration and hijrat. And Madani surahs are those that were revealed, those verses or surahs which were revealed after the hijrat and migration. Although they might have been revealed in Makkatul Mukarrama. For example, those verses which were revealed at the time of the Hajjatul Wada, that is the last farewell Hajj. Although they were revealed in Makkah, but they are classified according to the terminology of the Mufassirin as to be Madani ayats. So anyway, Suratul Fatiha is a Makki surah. Fatiha means the opening chapter. Why? Because it has been now placed right in the beginning of the Quran Majid. We should also understand that Suratul Fatiha, the verses of Suratul Fatiha were not the first verses which were revealed. Everybody, it is well known that the first verses which were revealed were the first few verses of Surah Iqra. Iqra bismi rabbikal ladhi khalaq. However, most of the commentators are of the opinion that this surah has a special characteristic in the sense that it was the first surah to be revealed in its entirety. In other words, all at one time the whole surah was revealed. Whereas in most of the surahs in the Quran and Majid, the verses were revealed bit by bit, piece by piece, over a duration of 23 years, which was the time of the Nabuwat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Suratul Fatiha has many names. Besides Suratul Fatiha, the name Fatiha, other names of the surah have also been given, which indicate to the great status of the surah and the meaning of the surah. It is also called Ummul Quran, which can be translated as the essence of the Quran and Majid. The reason being that the entire contents of the Quran and Majid and the subject matter is actually condensed and summarized in Suratul Fatiha. It is perhaps for this very reason that we have been commanded that in every salat, in every rakat, Suratul Fatiha has to be recited. Because by reciting the surah, as if we are getting the gist and the glimpse of the entire theme and entire subject matter which is contained in the Quran Majid. The subject matter of the Quran Majid can be divided into three. That is Tawheed, the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the second one is Risalat, Nabuwat, and the third one is concerning Qiyamah and Akhirah. All three are indicated towards in the verses of the surah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the surah, we all read the surah every day, if we have to count the rakats of each salat, throughout the day, the five salat, it comes to, together with the sunan and nawafil, comes to about 48, close to 50. And if we really have to ponder and recite the surah by contemplating in its meaning, really, we are pleading with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us towards the straight path. And how is it that anyone, any of the creation also, if we have to ask him for one thing daily, 50 times, definitely, if not at the first moment, but eventually he will grant you what you are asking for. So let us contemplate on the meaning of the surah and also read it in salat with concentration. And as we all know, one of the etiquettes of making dua is that don't read the duas just as parrot fashion, but let us concentrate on its meaning so that it will have effect. And inshallah, it will be graced with acceptance in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The surah, very short surah, seven ayats, but in this surah, as mentioned, the summary of the Quran Majid is actually mentioned in the surah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commences with Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, that all praise is only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the Lord of the worlds. Praise exclusive for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even if outwardly we praise anything because of his beauty, its appearance, whatever else, but actually it is praise for the creator of whoever, creator of that, of the beauty and the appearance of that thing. That is because just as we understand that to praise a work of art, for example, is actually praise for the artist himself. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, being the creator, the nourisher, the sustainer of everything in this universe, therefore all praise is exclusive only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the Lord of the worlds. By the word worlds, we are actually referring to all possible forms of existence in the universe, whether it's the sky, the earth, the stars, the planets, the wind, the rain, the plants, the minerals, the jinn, and obviously insan also. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the Rabb. He is the creator, the nourisher, and the sustainer of everything. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the Rabb of everything in this universe, so praise is only exclusive for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And naturally that will also now come to the next point, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself is only worthy of being worshipped. Allah ta'ala then identifies himself and mentions his qualities, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, the All-Merciful, the Most Merciful, and Maliki Yawmiddin. In this day is indication towards the year after, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the owner of the day of retribution. Then we declare, Allah ta'ala tells us to declare that Iyyaka Na'budu, that only you do we worship, and only you do we ask assistance from. Then the last three verses, the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions and actually teaches us the all-important dua of hidayat towards the straight path. Allah ta'ala says, Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim, Allah ta'ala guide us towards the straight path. And then, although the surah is so short, but then in the next two verses, Allah ta'ala identifies and actually mentions clearly what is the sirat al-mustaqim, what is the straight path. That it according to Nahwa, Arabic grammar, this is called Badal Kul, which means Sirat Mustaqim is Sirat Alladhina An'amta Alayhim. That it is the path of those whom Allah O Allah, you have favored, and those who you have blessed to us, and those whom you have blessed or graced to us. So the path of those. From this we understand that Sirat Mustaqim is, although the Quran Majid is also a source of guidance for all of mankind, as mentioned elsewhere in the Quran Majid, but here it is being indicated to that the men of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those who are whom Allah ta'ala had blessed, they are the path of them, that is the straight path. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elsewhere in the Quran Majid explains, who are the an'amta alayhim? من النبيين والصديقين والشهداء والصالحين the أنبياء عليهم السلام the صديقين those who are true in every aspect and on the highest level of spirituality and then the شهداء the martyrs and then the صالحين the pious and the righteous. So it is their path which Allah Ta'ala has defined as to be the صراط المستقيم. And then Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala by way of illumination and that to understand Sirat al-Mustaqim even better, Allah Ta'ala says, not the path of those who have incurred your wrath, and nor the path of those who have gone astray. The Mufassirin explain that this refers to the Jews and the Christians. The Jews are the Maghdubi alayhim, that willfully and knowingly, knowing the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yet they remain deficient in fulfilling the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of their stubbornness, because of their obstinacy, and because of their other evil traits. And waladdallin, the Christians, who because of ignorance or because of other reasons, they transgress the limits which Shariat had laid down, and which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had laid down, and they committed excesses. So from this we understand that Sirat-e-Mustaqim is that road in which there is no excess on one side and no deficiency on the other side. So that is the Sirat-e-Mustaqim. When we make this dua, let us make it dua with concentration, and from the bottom of our heart, and inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant us the Sirat-e-Mustaqim. Thereafter, Suratul Baqarah. Suratul Baqarah is a Madani surah. In other words, it was revealed after the Hijrat, after the migration to Medina to Munawwara, but it was not revealed all at once. It was revealed bit by bit. In the surah also is contained the last verses which were actually revealed, وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا تُرْجَعُونَ فِيهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ, which were revealed just prior to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passing away. So, that surah many verses were revealed right in the beginning of the era after migration, but some ayats were revealed towards the end of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's life also. Suratul Baqarah, the word Baqarah means cow. Cow, because the incident of the cow is mentioned in the surah, which was an incident which occurred amongst the Bani Israel, particularly referring to the Jews, and that incident is mentioned later on. That's mentioned later on. That's why the surah has been given the title Suratul Baqarah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commences this verse, the surah, with Alif Lam Mim. These type of words in the beginning of many surahs of the Quran and Majid are called Hurufi Muqatta'at. The meaning of it is known only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nobody knows the exact meaning of these verses. That is why in all the kitabs of tafsir, all the mufassirin, they explain Alif Lam Mim to be Allahu A'lamu bi Muradihi. That only Allah Ta'ala exactly knows its meaning. One of the reasons the ulama explain Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts many of the surahs with the huruf muqatta'at is to get the attention of the people, particularly those who are regarded themselves to be the Ahli Kitab, the Jews and the Christians, and also the Arabs themselves, who regarded themselves to be very eloquent in the Arabic language and to have a command of the Arabic language. They had great oratory skills, etc. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from the onset, Allah ta'ala already instilled into them that if you regard yourself to be so expert and eloquent in the language, you don't even know some basic alphabets and the meaning of it. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts the surah with Alif Lam Mim. Wherever the huruf muqatta'at are mentioned, whether it is Alif Lam Mim, or Alif Lam Ra, or Hameen, or Hameem Ayn Seen Qaf, or Kaf Haya Ayn Sod, whatever it is, the, most of it, mostly after that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the greatness of the Qur'an Majeed, the grandeur and the great status of the Qur'an Majeed. Here also Allah ta'ala says that this is the kitab in which there is no doubt and in which there is guidance for the muttaqeen. That which we are asking for guidance in Suratul Fatiha, as if Allah ta'ala says, you want this guidance? One is the way and path of the men of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the other is the kitabullah. Cling firmly to these two, and you will get your hidayat, and you will get your guidance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then, in the next 19 or 20 verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions the different categories of men. One is those who are the mu'mineen. Allah ta'ala in 4 or 5 verses, Allah ta'ala mentions their qualities. Then in 2 verses, Allah ta'ala mentions makes mention of the kuffar, the disbelievers. And then in about 13 ayat after that, Allah Ta'ala mentions the third group, which are the munafiqeen, the hypocrites, who outwardly they show themselves to be mu'mineen, but actually they are kuffar. So actually division of mankind is not according to race, color, creed, or geographical location, whatever it is. It is according to their beliefs. Either you are a mu'min or either you are a kafir. However, kafirs are of two types. Those who openly profess their disbelief, and those who are the munafiqeen, the hypocrites, who conceal their disbelief and show themselves to be the mu'mineen. So in 13 ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the conditions of the munafiqeen. The reason being that, first of all, those who are the mu'mineen, Allah ta'ala mentions their qualities. We should ponder over the qualities Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions for those who are the mu'mineen, that those who believe in the unseen. To believe in the unseen is to believe in those things which we cannot comprehend with our senses. But we have to believe in it because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had told us so from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Iman is actually to believe without any reservation and doubt whatsoever that whatever Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam brought to us from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is 100% correct and it is true. That is actually belief. So iman on ghayb, perfection and establishment of salat, and to spend from what Allah ta'ala has granted a person, that's the third quality. And the fourth one is to believe in whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or whatever else was revealed prior to that, and to believe in the hereafter. Believe in the hereafter is also an integral part of iman, without which a person's iman can never be correct. a prominent alim heard an alim heard an alim heard him saying that many a time people don't have actual belief in the hereafter, but they say, no, we're just believing in case it is something as a hereafter, so we mustn't now have problems later on. No, that's not actual. Conviction must be that from the heart we believe, no, it is so. Doubts and wasawi from shaitan will come throughout a person's life, but a person should reaffirm that there is life after death. Outwardly, we see a person passing away, and outwardly he turns into dust after some time in the qabr, and outwardly there doesn't seem to be anything which indicate towards life of the hereafter. But it is an integral part of iman, without which a person's iman is not complete. Allah Ta'ala says, these are the people on hidayat, and these are the ones who are successful. Thereafter Allah Ta'ala mentions the kuffar, and then the munafiqeen, the evil traits of the munafiqeen. About 12 evil traits have been mentioned in the 13 ayat. Their lies, their deception, their creating mischief and corruption on the earth, and many other evils are mentioned here. We have been we have been informed about this. So we as Muslims do not fall into the trap of hypocrisy and the evils of hypocrisy. Then very important verse Allah Ta'ala mentions that bring iman as the people have brought iman. All the mufassirin are unanimous by the word annas in the ayat here refers to the sahaba radiallahu anhu. So the criterion for a person's iman, that whether it is correct or not, is the iman of the sahaba radiallahu anhum. We should see to it that our iman is like how the sahaba radiallahu anhum understood iman from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Further on, the veracity of the Qur'an Majeed is mentioned. Allah Ta'ala mentions that if you have doubt in the Qur'an Majeed, then bring the light of it. And this challenge of the Qur'an Majeed was never met in the past. History bears testimony to that. And till the day of Qiyamah, this challenge will never be met, and nobody will be able to produce the like of the Qur'an Majeed. This itself indicates the veracity and truthfulness of the Qur'an Majeed, and together with that, the Risalat and Nabuwat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is also established from that. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of the creation of Adam alayhi salatu wa salam, and he's being appointed the vicegerent of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on earth. We as the children of Adam alayhi salatu wa salam also have to now abide by remain obliged to the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the actual vicegerency of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed to mankind on earth. Further on, from the fourth ruku onwards, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of the Bani Israel, who are the children. Bani actually means children. Israel is actually the title of Yaqub alayhi salam, which in Arabic is translated as Abdullah, the servant of Allah Ta'ala. That all children of the servant of Allah Ta'ala, this was the title of Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam, and the progeny of Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam later on became known as the Bani Israel. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam migrated to Madinatul Munawwara, there the Jews were staying in Madinatul Munawwara. And particularly the Jews, they, despite knowing the truth, then and they knew that the last Nabi is to come, but because the last Nabi did not come from their family, but instead came from the family of Ismail alayhi salam, the second son of Ibrahim alayhi salam, so they, out of jealousy and out of stubbornness and obstinacy, they refused to accept the nubuwwat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in various ways, Allah ta'ala, in a persuasive way and in a friendly way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala recounts all his favors upon the Bani Israel. What great favors Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had blessed them with, all are enumerated in this section of Surah Al-Baqarah and throughout the Qur'an Majeed. That how much favors we have bestowed you with, and in response to that, there was ingratitude from the side of the Bani Israel, and they refused to accept the haqq, was the result that they became, that the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then descended upon them. So, many of the incidents are being mentioned here, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed them with so many bounties, particularly in the time of distress and need, when they were in difficulty, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alleviated their difficulty. But the result was they refused to accept the nabuwat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The incident of the cow is also mentioned, where a murder took place in the time of the Bani Israel. people did not know who the murderer was, and eventually they were told to slaughter a cow. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah ta'ala gave him a wahi, revelation, that tell them to slaughter a cow and place a piece of the meat of the cow on the corpse of the murdered person, and he will get up and he will mention the name of the murderer. And that is exactly what happened. Although after much deliberation, the Bani Israel, their nature is to be obstinate, but eventually then they abided by this and they slaughtered the cow. The ulama explained that at that time there were many people who were doubting life after death, so this incident also now proved to them that there is life after death. So, and also the Bani Israel, when Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was called towards the Mount Tur to receive the Torah, then in his absence they also indulged in worshipping the calf, that is the child of the baby of the cow. And this incident also now dispelled that how can a calf which we have been ordered to slaughter, how could it ever be your deity and object of worship? Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then, towards the end, Allah ta'ala then mentions that about Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had maybe made him the imam of the time. All nations, they believe in the greatness of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam and try to affiliate themselves and join themselves up to be on the creed of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah ta'ala mentions clearly that only those who are on the millat of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, on the creed of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, who are the mu'mineen. And the Jews and Christians, they claim to have affinity to Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, but they refuse to follow the ways of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam and the teachings of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also put Ibrahim alayhi salam through numerous trials and tribulations in which he was successful. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in view of that, made him, as mentioned here, imam of the people. In other words, the leader and the guide for all of mankind. That is why all religions, they try and affiliate themselves to be on the creed of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam. Allah ta'ala mentions that only those who are foolish, and those who have become the slaves of their nafs, they turn away from the millet of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, the creed of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, particularly referring to these Jews and the Christians. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that these people are such that if they believe as you have believed, O Sahaba radiallahu anhum, then they will be rightly guided. But if they turn away, then they are in stubbornness and obstinacy, and Allah is sufficient for them, Allah will deal with them, and Allah Ta'ala is all-knowing, and Allah Ta'ala is all-hearing. The next para, inshallah, we will continue tomorrow. The first quarter of the second para was also recited, inshallah we will do it tomorrow.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allah Ta'ala says in the name of the Quran, وَلَا ذِكْرُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ. Indeed, the dhikr of Allah is the greatest. عن معاذ بن جبل رضي الله عنهم قال ما عمل آدمي عملا أنجى له من عذاب الله من ذكر الله قالوا ولا الجهاد في سبيل الله قال ولا أن يضرب بسيفه حتى ينقطع لأن الله تعالى يقول في كتابه ولذكر الله أكبر رواه أحمد. حضرت معاذ بن جبل رضي الله عنه فرماتے ہیں آدمی نے عذاب الہی سے نجات دلانے والا کوئی عمل ذکر سے بڑھ کر نہیں کیا. صحابہ کرام رضی اللہ عنہم نے پوچھا اے اللہ کے رسول صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم جہاد فی سبیل اللہ بھی نہیں؟ فرمایا ہاں جہاد فی سبیل اللہ بھی نہیں سوا اس کے کہ جہاد فی سبیل اللہ کے میدان میں تلوار چلاتے چلاتے بہادری کے وہ جوہر دکھائے اور جان کی بازی لگا کر وہ زبردست مقابلہ کیا کہ تلوار بھی ٹوٹ گئی. تو ایسا جہاد ذکر کی برابری کرے تو کرے, کیونکہ اللہ تبارک و تعالیٰ کا فرمان ہے قرآن کریم میں ولذکر اللہ اکبر. حضرت معاذ بن جبل رضی اللہ عنہ once said there is no action which can save one from the punishment of Allah more greater than ذکر of Allah. Upon hearing this, one companion exclaimed, not even jihad in the path of Allah. He replied, not even jihad, even if one continues striking with his sword until it breaks, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the noble Quran, وَلَذِكْرُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ. Hazrat Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu once said, There is no action which can save one from the punishment of Allah more great than the dhikr of Allah. Upon hearing this, one companion exclaimed, not even jihad in the path of Allah. He replied, not even jihad, even if one continues striking with his sword until it breaks. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Nawm al-Qur'an, وَلَذِكْرُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ.